Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
There's a joke that says this, or not a joke, but just a saying that says, I want to be so full of Christ that when a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing, there's power in the blood. Amen. We're getting close to mosquito season, but you know what? I pray that, you know, if you get stung, that mosquito never forgets that the blood of Jesus covers your life, amen? That the blood of Jesus is what washed over your life. How many of you know the power of the blood of Jesus? Amen. I'll give you a second chance to think that through. How many of you have been set free by the blood of Jesus? Amen. Amen. I know what the Lord has done in my life, and I realize that God has set me free at the ripe old age of 15 years old, amen? But it doesn't matter when we come to Him, it just matters that we come to Him, amen? And whether we realize it or not, church, blood is the most powerful key that Scripture teaches us about, amen? If I can get into the Word this morning, that word blood, it occurs 447 times in 357 verses in the Bible. The blood, when it refers to either directly or symbolically to the blood of Jesus, it's the very heart and it's the very core of what Scripture teaches. It's our foundation of our Christian faith. Amen? If you would take blood out of the human body, how many of you know that you would just have a lifeless lump of flesh? If you take blood out of our body, we're not functioning, we're not living, we're not breathing anymore. And if you take the blood out of Scripture, then you have a Bible that has no life-giving properties. You have a word, you have a bunch of pages, but there's no true life there. It becomes a dead book rather than a living book that the Scripture claims to be. But I want to encourage us this morning because the blood of Jesus Christ still saves. The blood of Jesus Christ still heals, amen? The blood of Jesus still restores, and the blood of Jesus can still resurrect the dead. If you believe that in your heart, then I want us to just thank the Lord one more time. Just give Him all honor and praise. Because if the blood of Jesus has saved your life, then you'll truly worship Him and you'll give Him glory from a place that you could have never afforded for yourself. You see, I know what it is that the blood of Jesus has done for my life. I know what it is, how He has washed me clean, how He's purified me, how He's brought me into covenant with the living God, how He's made me a son of the Most High God. You see, I know what it is that the blood has done for my life, but I want us to think just for a second what it meant to the Lord to go up to that hill, to go up to that place of Calvary for us. Think this thought with me just for a second. Think, where was He going? Where was the Lord going? He was going to that Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says, to even sweat drops of blood. He prayed so intensely the night before He was about to be betrayed and give His life. He sweat drops of blood. Where was He headed? He was going to be arrested, church. He was going to be tried in court, to be mocked, to be spit at, to be laughed at, to have His holy body pierced for our life. To have a crown of thorns placed upon His head. They were about to take Him and drive nails into His hands and into His feet to be nailed to a tree for the sins of this world. Can you picture just a moment if that happened to you? Having nails driven through your flesh, having nails driven through your hands and your feet, literally nailing you to a cross. A crime that didn't fit the punishment, a punishment that didn't fit the crime. It wasn't Jesus who was guilty, it was us. It wasn't Jesus who had committed sin, it is us. It wasn't Jesus who was at fault for anything, church, it was us. Think of this happening to us. This is what He went to do. He went to endure the mockery, the spitting of a cruel mob. They did not know who He was or what He was doing, but He was going to eventually die. His blood would be poured out and He would be laid in a grave. The eternal Son of God, by whom all things exist and by whom all things consist. He was going to deliberately do all of that because the only way inside the gates of heaven was through the name Jesus Christ. Have you stopped to realize all that Jesus has done for you? Have we stopped to realize everything that was done on our behalf? This morning, I want to take us through scripture, and I want our hearts to focus on what the Lord has done for us. Amen. We have this special communion table before us today, church, and it's a special moment. Amen. This is not just a moment of religious, you know, tradition. Amen. We don't take it because of religious tradition. The Bible says that, you know, we get a snack when the preacher's finished talking. No, it's not what scripture says. Amen. Pastor says it so often this way. He says, if it was a meal that you came for, this meal could hardly satisfy. For it's just a cracker and some juice. But what it represents, church, is the most important thing to our faith, to those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we do this in remembrance of him. We do it all because of what Jesus has done. And so for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you of the power of the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, it was the order of God to have priests sacrifice bulls or goats or rams and take that blood that was given as a sacrifice for the sins of the people once a year. Now, I don't know about you, but I need more covering than that. But it was God's ordained order that they would give a sacrifice, that the priest would take that sacrifice and they would sprinkle that blood in the holy place, and that this was called atonement. What this meant was it was a payment being made on behalf of the sins of the people. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, getting older, you know, when I was younger, I used to want to be older. Now that I'm older, I want to be younger again. Amen. Anybody else relate to that? Yeah, my knees sound like glow sticks, you know, like they crack all the time. You know, my back hurts, you know, I find new ways to just hurt myself, you know. Getting older sometimes is not always the best thing, but, you know, I think about this and I often wonder, you know, when I got older, there was one thing that I inherited, and that was bills. How many of you have bills? Amen. We're going to pray that devil out of the church. Amen, Pastor? Right? You know, you guys would start an intercessory meeting right now, you know. Father, debt free in Jesus' name, right? You know, we take bills seriously. But it's interesting to me that, you know, we work so hard in this life and we do so many things to pay a bill. But there was one bill that could never be paid by us. There was one bill that could never be paid for by us. That means that it doesn't matter how talented, gifted, how much you worked, what education level you have, you know, what position you hold in the world. None of those things could have ever paid the debt that we owe as sinners before a holy God. Amen? So back in the Old Testament, there was flaws in this sacrifice because of many things, but there were imperfect sacrifices. And I want us to understand this. There were mortal priests. There were priests that would, you know, live a certain amount of years, and they were the ones that were appointed to give that sacrifice. But then eventually, that line of priests would die, and they would be replaced. They would be able to perform the duties that God had asked them to do for the you know, atonement of the sins of the people. They were able to do that for so long, but then that priest would eventually be replaced. How many of you know that Jesus is irreplaceable? Jesus is irreplaceable, church. See, what they were able to do back then wasn't able to do enough. Amen. It wasn't able to do enough. It was just a fragment. It just worked for a season in time. And this next verse that I want us to read in Hebrews 7, it says this. It's speaking of Jesus. Verse 16, it says, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation, as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. I'm talking about Jesus. He was the only one that was able to become the perfect sacrifice. The great high priest, the one who would never be replaced. When Jesus gave his life for us, church, the Bible says that he was able to be the next one in line. After all the old priests had died and had succumbed to this life, the Bible says he was not a priest on the basis of a regulation or unto his ancestry, but on the basis of a power of an indestructible life. There's this old song that says the cross couldn't hold him. It says, what does it say? The cross couldn't hold him, the grave couldn't stop him, and death wasn't enough because he got up. Amen. I love what it goes on to say. It says, hell called the party on a Friday night and said it was all over and done. But Satan failed to realize the battle had just begun. Because on the third day, an angel said, tell, Jesus is alive and well. He got up. Amen. A life that was unable to be captive and captured by the ways of the world. The Bible says of every single one of us, my friend, this is probably the worst news that you'll hear me preach this morning, but every single one of us one day will die. Our mortal body will not live forever. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that our body will see decay. That is our body. But our soul will live on forever. But there's a choice that our soul must make here and now while we are living and breathing, and that is to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? This is what an indestructible life looks like. This is why it goes on to say that Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. What does that mean? That means that he is able to supply what nobody else could fulfill. Some commentaries summarize the book of Hebrews with the phrase, good versus perfect. There's a difference between us being good people and us being washed in the blood. See, some of us may never murder, we may never steal, we may never lie. Amen? We all lied right now. Yeah. We may never think that we've done anything that is deserving of a life outside of Jesus in hell and in eternal damnation in a place of torment. We ourselves don't think that, but how many of you know that we are not the judge and we are not the jury? Amen. There is one who is the judge and the jury, and his name is Jehovah. Amen? And so this Old Testament law, I want us to understand this. It was limited and it was imperfect, and it could never fulfill our salvation. It was not bad because God created it, and it was part of God's plan to point mankind towards Jesus. But the new covenant that you have when you surrender to your life with Jesus is perfect, whereas the old covenant could never be perfect. When we surrender our life to Jesus, it is a perfect covenant made between us and the Lamb of God. And I want us to understand this today, that this table before us is not some old religious act. It isn't something that has to be done over and over like the old covenant to secure our position in the Lord. But it's something that we're privileged to do to honor and remember the one who is perfect, the one who is indestructible, the one who is unflawed, the one who gave his life for you and me. We can find security through the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Jesus is not going to be kicked out as the great high priest. Amen. Jesus is not going to be kicked out as the great high priest because he wasn't there by popular vote. He didn't arrive there because of his mom and his dad or their last name or the power that they held. He didn't arrive there by election. He didn't have to start any kind of revolution, nor did he have to put up signs with his face on it all around the city saying, vote for me, Jesus. He didn't have to do any of that, church. He didn't have to make false promises to get your vote. Amen. I even wrote this down. You don't have to wait until the devil's term is over because Jesus' term has never ended. Amen. Amen. How many of you know that you can experience the powerful presence of Jesus right here and now? Amen. The presence of the Lord is not some destination that you're going to go because Jesus would have never told us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. We can experience the wonderful relationship of knowing a living Savior in our life every single day. Hebrews 7:3 is describing Melchizedek. And if you've ever read your Bible, you'll see that there's this interesting figure in Scripture named Melchizedek. That is somebody that was recorded in Scripture having no beginning or no end. We have to understand who he was. He had no beginning or no end, and there's no genealogy that was linked to Melchizedek. But in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus is linked to Melchizedek. And so there was this priesthood that Melchizedek had, and he was one that God used, and he was one that gave an example of a type of Jesus. And his priesthood meant that it lasted forever. So I want us to read this and understanding who he is. Hebrews 7:3 says he's without father or mother, without genealogy, without the beginning of days or an end of life, resembling the Son of God. He remains a high priest forever. So write this down in your notes this morning. Number one, his blood has eternal power. I'll say it again. His blood has eternal power. Hebrews 9:12 says this. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So if you have your Bible in front of you, I want you to just highlight a couple things. Highlight once for all. Highlight that in your Bible. Highlight once for all. Highlight by his own blood. Circle it. Underline it. It's okay. You can write on it. And highlight eternal redemption. Did you know that the blood that was spilled for our sins was so powerful that it only took one time? Amen. Amen. I said the blood that was spilled for our sins was so powerful, church, it only took one time. Hebrews 9:26 goes on to say, otherwise Jesus Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, because guess what? We have many sins. Amen. We sin all the time, unfortunately. But the truth is that we have many sins. And so it goes on to say, otherwise he would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. It says, but he has appeared once for all, right? Highlight it, circle it, underline it. He has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away from sin, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So it goes just a little bit deeper. Did you know that Jesus' blood was not some kind of promo code for the redemption of sins that you had up until you met him? Think about that just for a moment. It wasn't just this one-time payment that was only good for a discount on our sins and then nothing else was left. Until we met him face to face. No, his blood, church, was more than enough to meet the need. His blood was given for the payment of our sins, past, present, and future. But also, the writer of Hebrews was emphasizing this, to transform us no longer to being a slave of sin. Amen. How many of you know that we can be free from sin? Amen. Amen. See, he didn't just die, like I said, not one time so that you could come to him, be washed clean and say, oh man, I feel better and let me go live my life. No, the Bible says that he died to do away with sin. To do away with it. John 8:34 says this. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Verse 35, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. If the son sets us free, then we will be free indeed. Amen. The only way a bound slave can become a son is when the blood of the Son of God covers our sins. He's the one that makes us right. He's the one that makes us holy. He's the one that changes everything for us. Martin Luther said this, all his is mine. I want to just break down that statement just for a second. Do you know that we have authority in Jesus Christ? Amen. All his is mine. All access to the Father is mine. He says, all his is mine and all mine. Think about this. My sins, my death, my damnation, is his. Consider with me just for a second the fairness of the trade that was just made. Think just for a moment that this is probably the most unfair trade in the world. We could be washed clean, transformed, know the Father, have relationship with God, carry the very authority that he gave Christ. See the power of God move. See transformation, see healing, see peace, see signs, see wonders, see miracles. All of this is ours when we are a son and when we are adopted by the Most High. But my sin goes to him. My deserved punishment goes to him. The cross that I should have been on goes to him. When I think about that exchange, church, I think about it and it tears my heart open, because here's the deal. For one of us, this exchange was far more costly. I said, for one of us, the exchange that happened when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it was far more costly for Jesus than it was for me. He paid a much higher price than it cost me to serve him every day. He paid a much more difficult and challenging price than it cost me to just humble myself to know him. A much greater price, church. And I know for those of us who have given our life to Jesus, it hasn't always been easy. Amen. I know you gave your heart to the Lord. How many of you have given your heart to Jesus? Raise your hand really quickly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's still some of you that need to get saved, then. That's great. We're in the right house. I know it hasn't been easy since I gave my heart to Jesus. I know it hasn't been perfect. I know every day hasn't been, like this walk in the park, like they say. It hasn't always been easy, church. We've had to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? How many of you can resonate with that? Yeah, we've gone through battle after battle. Amen? How many of you have gone through a battle in your time of knowing Jesus? Amen? You're not battling with Jesus. Amen? Sometimes the battle's just inside of us. I heard a guy say something to this effect one time. The most spiritual warfare that we ever go through is between our two ears. Every day you wake up and there's just this war that goes on to serve Jesus. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? But even as tough as that's been, even as challenging as it's been, when you're attacked by the enemy, when you're attacked by friends, when you're attacked by family, when you're attacked by different people, despite all of that, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood, and more specifically, shedding your blood. As costly as it's been, as challenging as it's been, you and I have never had to shed our blood. Can we just thank Jesus one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Until we acknowledge what we owed. Until we acknowledge what we owed, can we truly be grateful for our debt that's been forgiven? Jesus spoke of that woman. He said, he who's been forgiven much loves much. See, I know what he's done for me. We could go on and on and on about the countless ways the Lord has loved us when we didn't deserve it. The countless mercy that we've received when we had no reason to gain anything from that mercy. All of the things that God has done for us. But I want us to just take note. Because see, this is all about remembering what he's done. And I want us to think and understand just for a second that sin is sin. It has no measure. We were born into sin. Amen? And regardless if you were like a murderer in Scripture, you know, the guy that they gave up Jesus for, Barabbas, he was known to be a murderer. The guy on the cross next to Jesus was a thief. You might say, Pastor, I've never murdered. I've never stolen anything. Well, listen, it doesn't matter what your sin was. It matters that we were not righteous. And we could only be made righteous through Jesus. And until we come to the acknowledgement of our sin, we're quick to point fingers. Amen. Watch, for example, how many of you know somebody that should be hearing this message right now? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're hesitant, right? You know I'm gonna trap you. I believe you're here hearing this message because God wants you to know this message. Amen. And guess what? There's more people to save. Amen. We'll get them here one by one. But there's something that we have to understand. Until we acknowledge what we owed, until we acknowledge that, then and only then can we be grateful for our debt that's been forgiven. A tree turned mankind to a world of sin, but a son took the sins of the world and nailed it to a tree. Think about that. He did it all. Every curse, every sickness, every wicked thought, every shameful deed, all of it would be put to death in our lives so that we could step forward to freedom in Christ. Amen. Amen. So that we could do away with the old life. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Therefore, the old has gone and the new has come. Amen? You see, if you haven't stepped out of your grave clothes yet, then I want us to understand what the blood is actually paid for. It is paid not for that one-time payment, like I said, but it's paid so that we could step out of our grave clothes. Amen? So that we can know Jesus in a life of righteousness and holiness. Faith, which is believing with our heart, our soul, and our mind of what Jesus has done for us, gives us access to the promises of the Lord. Romans 4:22 says this, speaking of Abraham, said, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. How many of you like credit? Amen. Y'all know what credit is? When somebody else that's got a lot of money gives you money that you don't have. Amen. It was credited to him as righteousness. Somebody that has something that you don't have just gave it to you. Why? Because of faith. The Bible says the words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us. Everybody say me. To whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe. Everybody say believe. Who will believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And he was delivered over to death for our sins. And was raised to life for our justification. Amen. The payment of the blood of Jesus exchanges our grave clothes to garments of righteousness. Isaiah 61 and verse 10, he said, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Just like that song that we ministered a few minutes ago, it says, everything changed. It's getting harder to recognize the person I was before I encountered Christ. Man, if you run into somebody from your past, I pray that they don't even recognize you. Amen. I pray that they don't even recognize you, that they look at you and they go, man, what happened to you? Not because you're gray or you're older, or your temple's grown or whatever, but because the amount of Jesus that is upon your life. First, you know, for Peter and John, they were those guys that were known in Scripture. And Peter was that guy that denied Jesus 3 times. And we know the story before the rooster crowed. And Peter was that same guy that cut off an ear, you know, of that soldier that came to take Jesus captive. Peter was a bad dude. Peter had an attitude problem. Peter had issues. Amen. But how many of you know that when you encounter the living God, he is the only transformation? I said it this way the other night as I was preaching in our Wednesday Bible study. By the way, we have church on Wednesdays. Amen. So anyways, I was preaching and I said this. Coming to Jesus is not behavior modification. What does that mean? That means you don't come to Jesus and all of a sudden you do the right stuff. You sit in church and you wear nice clothes when you show up and you stand up when they tell you to stand up and you sit down when they tell you to sit down and you say amen when they tell you to say amen. It's not that. It has nothing to do with that. That is all a religious facade. It's all things. Those are all things, but when you come to Jesus and you truly believe who the Lord, you know, is, and you have the revelation of Jesus, and you know that he is the only one, he is the source of life. You know that he is the only one that was fit to make the payment for your sins. The only one that is calling you, the only one that desires relationship with you. When you come to Jesus, my friend, it is not behavior modification. It's not like, okay, all right, Jesus, I'll be a good boy now. I'll behave myself. No, my friend. He takes up residence inside of your heart. He makes your heart his home. And guess what? The things that you used to say, you can't say any longer because there's a Holy Spirit that is living in your heart and in your life. The jokes that you used to tell, you cannot say because there is a living God, a holy God, a perfect God that is reigning inside of your heart. Everything changes. The places you used to go, the thoughts you used to think, the things you used to watch, the things that you listen to, everything begins to change. I'll never forget when I gave my heart to Jesus. Those of you that know me, you know, I was back here behind the drums just a minute ago. I love music. And one of the first things the Holy Spirit dealt with me with was music. I used to listen to stuff that was horrible, stuff that was just, I hear it, if I heard it now, it's like poison. It really is. Some of you are still hooked on things that Jesus has been wanting to free you from. You wonder why there's bondage and there's things, strongholds in your life, but you're hanging on to things of the world. Let Jesus fill your heart and spill over in a beautiful way so that he flushes all that stuff out. Amen. You know that we're not supposed to, you know, say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to just, you know, modify my life or I'm going to just, you know, whatever. No, my friend, we submit to everything that this says. We lay our lives down in full surrender to what Jesus has said. I don't have an option. I have to be completely surrendered to this or nothing at all. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, Jesus exposed something really deep inside of my life. And he said, this stuff is poison, son. Throw it away. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to have this Columbia House thing back in the day. Those of you that are my age, some people are laughing. That's where you could get like 20 CDs for a penny. Freddie and me know, right? My brother-in-law. Was it 20? It was like 13, you know, for a dollar or something like that. And then they'd hook you. And then they're like, oh, you know, you don't have to send it back if you don't want it. Then you get the bill. Whoops. We pulled a fast one on you. Anyways, I had that thing for a minute. And I used to have about 250 CDs. Because CDs were a thing for those of you that are younger. You know, some of you don't even know what a CD is. Cassette. Right? We'll just keep going back. 8-track, you know, record. But I had this CD thing, and I had all this music. And after I got saved, after the Lord did a transforming work in my life, the stuff that I used to hear that I liked, all of a sudden it was like there was a complete different spirit behind all of it. And the Lord convicted me one day. This was just not long after I gave my heart to him. I took my entire collection, CDs and CDs and CDs. I had cassettes too, because I'm that old. I used to press record on the tape player and record my favorite song that I heard on the radio. And I'd play drums to it, and I'd try to figure it out. I got all this pile of CDs, and I took it out to the dumpster in my apartment that I used to live in, and I threw it all away. I shattered them. Boom. threw them all away. And then I was so proud of myself. Like, I was like, man, I did something for you, God. Like, I gave this up. And I remember I tell my friend, I was like, bro, you're never gonna believe what the Lord, you know, is doing in my life. And I was like, I was so convicted about what I was listening to. And I went outside and, man, I took all my CDs and I threw them away. And he goes, what? And I was like, yeah, man, it was all trash. He's like, no, should have given it to me. And I was like, dude, a church kid. Good Lord. You know, the devil sits in the pews too. There's always going to be somebody that's going to tell you, hey, you don't have to be that righteous. You don't got to be that holy. You don't have to spend hours in time of prayer. You don't got to read your Bible all the time. Hey, just come to church once a week. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And the enemy wants you to be comfortable. The enemy wants you to have your cake and eat it too. My friend, the Bible says that he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Amen? That means that we actually have to get both feet in the kingdom and not have one foot in and one foot out. Be teeter-tottering in our relationship with God, but we have to be all in. This is all possible through the blood. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. How many of you are near now because of the blood? Amen. I know I'm close. That's the best news ever. See, the impossibility of sinners like us being close to a spotless lamb like Jesus should cause our hearts to offer an eternal thanks to God. An eternal thanks to the Lord, a heart that's forever pouring out worship of him who is worthy. And Revelation 5:9 says this, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. It says, and with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. You see, nothing else was needed but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Can I say something? We need to stop adding to the blood. Amen. We got to stop adding to what Scripture says. It's like, oh, do this and this and this. And I realize there's so much that Scripture contains. But you know what? If you just follow Jesus, amen. Let's make it as simple as possible. Get everything else out of the way and just follow Jesus. You will be just fine, my friend. Nothing else was needed, only the life of Jesus clinging to a dead tree. And the same sinners who were once poisoned by the fruit of sin from that tree of death, it was only by the blood of Jesus being poured out upon the soil of this earth that could raise back to life those who were formed from the dirt. So that through his sacrifice, we might be blood bought, blood washed, forgiven, justified, living a life no longer for ourselves, but for him who died in our place. Amen. Because one day, this perfect and righteous God, he will deal with all of those who are not covered in the blood. Amen. There's going to be a day, church, and I remind you today what Scripture says in Romans 5:9. It says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? See, part of salvation is not getting the punishment that our sins deserved. That's what you are being saved from. Amen. That's what we're being saved from, is that punishment. And the Bible says that how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, which is Jesus. Verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? See, can I tell you this morning, you need nothing else in your life. You don't need a bigger paycheck. You don't need a better job. You don't need a new relationship. You don't need, you know, a bigger pantry. You don't need new property. You don't need a new this or that. You don't need any of those things. All you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus, my friends. It's so simple. And God's wrath will one day deal with his enemies. Amen. He will one day deal with those who chose not to receive the mercy and the grace offered from the life of his son. The Lord will punish those who chose not to run to his son, the only name by which men can be saved. It will be a terrible and frightening day for those who are not covered in the blood. Because God will return one day, but right now, the Bible says the Lord is being patient. His grace is being patient, but his grace will one day end. His grace will one day end. He's patient now so that we can repent, we can renounce, and we can choose Jesus as our Savior, because religion will never save us. Amen. So religion ain't gonna save us, because our own good works will not save you. Doesn't matter how good you've been, your own ideals, your own philosophies, they will not save you. Your own health will not save you from decay. Your money will not save you. Your security and weapons will not save you. Your government will not save you. Your own intelligence and knowledge will not save you. These are all lies from a goat. These are all lies from a goat and not inheritable promises from the Lamb of God. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Because all those other things that I mentioned is what the prince of this world, Satan, it's what he preaches and wants you to believe. It's what he wants you to believe. To this day, the world has been turning to the sacrifice of a goat. To find power, to find authority, to find wealth and fame and hope. And people sacrifice their children to this goat. People sell their souls to this goat. But I'm here to remind somebody that the blood of a goat could have never done the work of a lamb. Never ever, church. If you've ever seen pictures, you'll see that Satan is represented by the head of a goat. It's an opposite. And we should understand something today that's really, really important. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 10, verse 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Verse 5, therefore, when Christ came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body, you prepared for me. He says, with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. But then I said, here I am. And it is written about me in the scroll that I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus is still saying, here I am. Jesus is still calling out to every single heart and every single life in this place, here I am. I am the light that you need in this darkened world. I am the one that is reaching out to your soul that is lost in darkness. I am still chasing down your broken heart with my love. I am still revealing myself to you. If you would just simply call upon me, I would save you. We have to ask ourselves this question this morning, and that is this, is do you want eternal life? See, there's two places that we've been given options for. One place, the Bible says, is only able to be inherited through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through me. He is the door, he is the gate, he is the hope of glory for salvation. But the Bible says, for those that choose not to believe in Jesus, John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it's the heart of the Lord, it's the love of God, and it's the desire of the Lord that you would know him. That you would receive him into your heart, that you would be washed in the blood of Jesus so that your sins could be forgiven. So that your life could be transformed, that you could be changed. You could go in a complete 180. You were headed in one direction, in a life of sin and lostness and being broken. And now you're headed towards Jesus. You're on the path to righteousness. You're on the path one day to an inheritance in heaven. And I want us to just close our eyes just for a moment. We have to ask ourselves all this question. Do you want to know the Lord? Do you want the peace that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says that there will be a day when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of his angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne. And the Bible says all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the Bible says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.